Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers, viewers, and listeners to a brand new edition of the Pewter Report podcast, energized by Celsius, the official energy drink of PewterReport.com and the Pewter Report podcast. It is a Monday edition of the show. We are starting off with a bang. It was like drinking a ton of Celsius this morning as the news hit early. Mike Evans is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer once again. So I don't want to hear it from Texans fans. I don't want to hear it from Jets fans or Chiefs fans that said that Mike Evans was coming to their team because they should know their role and shut their mouth because Mike Evans was always going to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer as he re-signs with the team this morning. We're going to talk all about it and what it means for the Bucs and Mike Evans. I'm your host, Matt Matera. Joined with me is the face that runs the place at PewterReport.com, SR Scott Reynolds. Scott, this is a great, great way to start off the week with this news about Mike Evans.
Yeah, it certainly is. Come back from Indy, right? We got the word that the things were looking pretty good in terms of being optimistic about Mike Evans returning, about Baker Mayfield returning. And sure enough, the first domino has fallen. It's been a big one, right? This is Mike Evans, future Hall of Famer, future Ring of Honor member, Buccaneer for life. And the reason why we say Buccaneer for life is that's the term that Mike Evans, you know, wanted to use. He wants to be a Buccaneer for life. That means something to him. But really what it means for the Bucs organization and with Mike is that this is a two-year deal, and I love this. This could end up being a three-year deal with a voidable year if the Buccaneers want to roll some cap money and lower his 2024 base salary, you know, which I'm sure they're going to do. I don't think he's going to sit on there for $26 million worth of cap space this year. So they're going to do that. They're going to lower that first-year contract amount. My guess is it'll probably end up being a three-year deal, but it's a voidable year, so it's really 2 years. But Matt, what it does is it allows the Buccaneers the short-term window to determine what's going to happen with Mike Evans, how healthy he's going to be. This team has gotten a little snake bit, biting this franchise a couple times with players that got injured on the other side of 30. Talking about, of course, Shaq Barrett after signing that huge deal, having the Achilles injury at age 30, and then the freak injury that happened to Ryan Jensen after he re-signed that massive four-year contract in 2021 to come back with Tom Brady for one more season and had that really career-ending knee injury. This safeguards the team a little bit. There's $35 million guaranteed for Mike. So really what that is, that's classic Mike Greenberg. It's your first year is fully guaranteed and half of your second year. So I think it's a great deal. It's a win-win for both Mike and the Buccaneers. And Matt, what it allows this team to do is kind of get into that Rondé Barber, Levante David mindset of, hey, you're in your 30s now. You want to keep playing? We'll do another one-year deal. Do another one-year deal. Do another one-year deal. And it really makes things affordable for both the Buccaneers. And if Mike is still cruising along, right, at age 33, then you re-sign him for another $26 million. Why not?
Yeah, that's the big thing that kind of first stood out to me. And just again, for people just filing in, Mike Evans re-signing with the Buccaneers. It's a two-year, $52 million contract. So that's $26 million per year. But obviously the big thing is guaranteed money. Mike is reportedly getting $35 million. So as Scott said, a great deal for both sides. And one of the boxes that the Bucks had to check, because Mike was at the top of it for sure. But there's Mike, there's Baker Mayfield, there's Antoine Winfield Jr., Levante David as well. So a lot of pieces moving around, and they put this first piece into the puzzle with Mike Evans. And that was going back to what I started with. That's what I was kind of like surprised about first when I saw that it was only for 2 years, because a lot of us were predicting 3 years, maybe if Mike even wanted a fourth year, whatever it may be. And it's still, in a fascinating way, it's still a little bit like Mike betting on himself, because he's still getting plenty of money on this new contract and this new deal. But if Mike is still playing at a high level after two seasons from now, and that salary cap continues to go up and up and up again, yes, he will be older and maybe he'll get a similar contract or something a little bit less, but he can still get like a pretty big payday overall, again, just by betting on himself. And on the flip side, if we start to see a small little bit of decline with Mike Evans to the point where, oh, well, if he signed for 3 years of $26 million, you wouldn't necessarily love it. The Bucks aren't totally locked into all of that. And you could still bring Mike back, as Scott was just saying, about one-year deal after one-year deal. You can get him, make sure he's in the fold, but also not kind of limit yourself to contract restructuring and signing new guys and re-signing players for future seasons because of this deal. So all around, just fantastic. Avoiding free agency, I think, is big, because you might see it with Baker. Hopefully you don't. But bidding wars never help the team itself. It obviously helps the players. But it goes back to what we've been saying for years on this podcast about Mike Evans. Like, the most selfless wide receiver you'll ever see, you'll ever meet. Just wants to win, just wants to be comfortable, have that peace of mind. And if he wants to be a Buck for life, well, he's going to be a Buck for life.
Yeah, and to me, really, I think this is the first domino to drop in free agency, right? This is only going to help the team when it comes to getting Baker Mayfield's contract done. I think that he's the next one. The Buccaneers made it clear that they wanted both Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield signed before the start of free agency, which really, in essence, is a week from today, because that's when the open negotiating period begins, the legal tampering period, if you will. And Peter Report has already reported, and I'll drop this in the chat here, there's already two teams, from what we heard in Indy, that are lined up for Baker Mayfield if he becomes a free agent. One of those teams is the Atlanta Falcons. They have some serious interest in Mayfield if they don't trade for Justin Fields. And that makes a lot of sense, because if you're Atlanta, you get the double whammy effect of stealing the Buccaneers starting quarterback, knocking them down several pegs. And maybe it's a thing where you know, Atlanta feels like they're a quarterback away, right? They're going to punt on Desmond Ridder as their starter now that they've got Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson in there. And, you know, he certainly had problems with turnovers last year in Atlanta, couldn't get the Falcons over that 7-10 hump that they've been at the last three seasons that cost Arthur Smith his job. The other team that is interested is the Minnesota Vikings, who got a first row seat to Baker Mayfield back in week one. Not only did Baker Mayfield beat the Falcons in Atlanta down the stretch, which really propelled Tampa Bay into that NFC South title contention again, they ended up winning it, of course, and Falcons didn't. But back in week one, it was a 20-17 comeback win led by Baker Mayfield in his first game as a Buccaneer up there, out-dueling Kirk Cousins in the second half of that game. Cousins now 36, Matt, coming off of an Achilles injury, wanting a huge payday. And unfortunately for him, 1-4 career postseason. I think the Vikings might be looking to move on. And Baker Mayfield is 6 years younger, 7 years younger than Kirk Cousins, and probably a better long-term investment. So if the Buccaneers can't get Baker Mayfield under contract this week, then they run the risk of not only maybe losing him to a couple teams. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's going to re-sign, but you know how it is in free agency, right? All it takes is one team to come in with a huge offer, and it can really wreck the Buccaneers' salary cap plans if they have to pay more than they expected, because now all of a sudden you've got these suitors coming in and bidding up the price.
It's all about that one team that's a little overzealous, and that's why it's so important that Mike is back in the building, because yes, Baker does want to get paid, and he deserves to get at least a salary increase from the year before when the Bucs got him on that bargain. But with all that said, the Bucs have done everything really that they can to position themselves to say, Baker, we're giving you everything that you wanted. Like, yeah, Dave Canales left. We couldn't do anything about that. Right. We have a head coach. His name is Todd Bowles. Dave wants to be a head coach. So what are we going to do for you, Baker? We're going to bring in an offensive coordinator that you got to work with that has a similar offense that you operated under the year before. And, oh, by the way, when your career was kind of in shambles, you at least found a smidgen of success with this offensive coordinator in Liam Cohen. By the way, you want to talk about familiarity, Baker? We're going to re-sign your best weapon, your best offensive player, and the greatest offensive player in Buccaneers history, Mike Evans. You think you and Mike did well together? Well, Mike, I will remind you, Baker, led the NFL in touchdown catches last season with 13, which helps pad your stats as well, Baker Mayfield, which got you to that Pro Bowl, which, well, you did this on your own, but winning a Pro Bowl MVP as well. So having Mike in the building with Baker and the continuity that he wants and the familiarity that he wants. And, you know, I was listening to something the other day, doing them both. And someone was saying that at the time, Odell Beckham was kind of the worst thing that happened to Baker Mayfield, because Baker was kind of like cruising along, doing his thing. And Odell was like the first wide receiver that was kind of like, give me the ball, give me the ball. And it really changed how Baker played quarterback, where he started to force it to Odell Beckham a little bit more. And when things weren't working, that's when you saw some of the turmoil. And Baker wasn't playing the quarterback style that he was used to playing. Well, fast forward, he goes to Tampa Bay. Yes, he got Mike Evans the ball anyway, because Mike's a great player. But Mike doesn't have that attitude. Mike doesn't have that me first type of mentality. And you could say working with a great wide receiver is fantastic, but you also need that type of wide receiver that has a mindset that can kind of pair well with you. You don't need everyone to like have the same emotions and reactions and things like that. But the being symbiotic, I guess is what I'm trying to say, is super, super important. And I think Mike and Baker, I mean, Mike can do it with anyone. Let's be real. Johnny Manziel, right. Jameis Winston, Tom Brady, now Baker Mayfield. But the comfortability factor that Baker will have with Mike Evans in year two, that was just one season. And that's right. What they did. Imagine what they can do in year two.
Yeah, especially given the fact that there's so many similarities between Liam Cohen's offense and Dave Canales's. This is not starting from scratch in a brand new scheme with foreign concept, et cetera. This is not like moving from Bruce Arians offense to Dave Canales, which were kind of two different things. This is a lot more closely aligned. And Liam Cohen doesn't have to use his imagination, right? He can turn on the film from last year and see Baker Mayfield throwing touchdown passes to Mike Evans and saying, okay, we want to continue doing this because it worked. Yeah. And I'm going to add a little bit of stuff here and there from my days out in LA or my days in Kentucky that worked, and kind of refresh this offense, give it some new twists and wrinkles and looks that NFC South teams like Atlanta, Carolina, and New Orleans didn't see last year playing the Bucs twice. So I'm excited to see what this offense holds. You and I both had some great vibes from those initial press conferences, the one before the cameras, then the one.
Yeah.
It was on the record, but it was like an informal setting with Liam Cohen. We get to ask him some more direct questions with the Bucs beat writers. And I just think that this team has the opportunity, especially from the offensive side. We saw the increase in production, Matt, going from 18 points per game in Byron Leftwich and Tom Brady's final season in Tampa to 21 points per game, a full field goal increase with Dave Canales and Baker Mayfield. And I think that another 3-point increase, I think Tampa Bay's offense with Mike Evans back, they're going to add some more offensive pieces. You know that.
Yeah.
I think the pass protection could be better with some better offensive linemen up front for Baker. I think that this team can go up to 24 points per game next year, and that's inching closer to a top 12, top 10 offense.
Yeah, because even though Liam Cohen is a new offensive coordinator, it still does feel like the Bucs are just kind of picking up where they left off because of everything that you just said about the familiarity with the offense being similar to what Dave Canales did as the Bucs offensive coordinator last season. But also because, let's remember, there was growing pains with this new offense. One, because it was a new offense, new system and all that stuff. But two, Dave Canales had never called plays before, at least at that level. Liam Cohen has already been there, done that. Yes, a lot more of that was at Kentucky and at the college level than it was at the NFL level. But he was with the Rams long enough. He was around guys like Sean McVay long enough where That's he right. understands what he is doing and he knows what needs to get done in order to make this offense very successful. The other thing that really excites me a lot, especially with having Mike Evans back, is the Cooper Kupp effect, I'll call it. And we talked about this on the show before. Liam Cohen has spoken about it in his press conference. Just the overall impact of players over plays right. of I don't care what the situation is. I am going to get my guy the football yeah. in crunch time on
trusting
third down.
Your on to fourth win down,
on
trusting matchups.
Your players. Yeah. And the biggest thing, we said it before, but I think it's really important to reiterate. When Liam Cohen was there with the Rams, they had Cooper Kupp when he won the triple crown of receiving yeah. yards and touchdowns and catches. Everyone knew Cooper Kupp was going to get the football, and teams still weren't able to stop it, including the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's right.
I see no reason why Mike Evans can't have that Cooper Kupp effect. And we all know Mike Evans is a great wide receiver and a Hall of Famer, but to have like an unreal season of maybe competing for that triple crown. He's already led the league in touchdowns last season, maybe up it in yards or something of that nature. I see no reason why that can't happen this season with Mike being who he is, with another season with Baker Mayfield together, what Liam Cohen and his philosophy is, and really some of the improvements that we'll see on the offense across the board, like the line that you mentioned.
Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued to see where this can go next year for Mike Evans in this offense. I just think that it's the sky's the limit. Remember, how many times did Mike Evans get tackled at the 1 yard line? Right, Couple. The Texans game rings a bell. The Colts game. I mean, he probably could have set a new franchise record. His record is 14 touchdowns. I think he could have got 15 or 16. There was a drop touchdown in the Eagles yeah. game on Monday night back in week 3. This guy is a prolific touchdown scorer. It's different than the Chris Godwin role, right? Which is more of the yeah. chain mover. And listen, Chris has his place in this offense, but the point producer is Mike Evans. And there's no coincidence that when the Buccaneers were averaging 30 points per game, he scored 14 points in 2021. And then what happened, I should say in 2021, what happened in 2022, he only had 6 touchdowns. That was a huge drop in his own touchdown production and a huge drop as a result in the Bucs scoring average per game, going from 30 to 18. That was big. Wasn't all Mike, but a lot of it was.
Yeah.
So to see him get back to doubling his touchdown production to go from 6 to 13 last year, which was tied for the league lead with Tyreek Hill, all of a sudden what happens? Scoring goes up and the Buccaneers end up winning more games. So it is going to be fun to see where this all shakes out for Mike Evans at age 31. When he turns 31 in August, I'm excited to see him continue to produce those 1,000-yard seasons. Almost as excited as I am every Monday, Matt, where we do this thing called
Roll Call. As the sign says, where are you at, Peter people? This is a fun thing we like to do every Monday, usually on Mondays. Last week we did it on Wednesday because we had some travel with the NFL Combine. But most Mondays we do this on the Peter Report podcast. So if you're new to the show, welcome. Thank you for joining us. And what we do every Monday at 4:20, we do this fun thing called Roll Call because we love interacting with the Peter people as much as we can. And this is one of the ways that we do it. So what we are about to do is one of us is going to go on a bit of a rant, a diatribe, if you will, talking about a Bucs-specific topic that we have on our mind at the moment. And in the meantime, if you want to put the location of where you are watching the show from, we will put it up on the screen because we have awesome fans all around the world, really. Not just Tampa, not just the United States, but internationally as well, like Bradley Taylor from Toronto, Canada. So, Scott, without further ado, if you want to get into a Bucks topic, I will put the names on the board.
That sounds good. So Mike Evans is back for two more years. What does this mean for the Bucks offense? Well, it means two more years of a lot of touchdowns, a lot of yards, a lot of production, a lot of consistency. But here's what it also should mean. Keep in mind that Chris Godwin is entering a contract year this year. He'll be 28 years old, just a few years younger than Mike, but still kind of inching closer towards the twilight of his career. And we've seen Chris take a little bit of a step back in production. And what that means is when he went outside and played the outside Z receiver in Dave Canales' offense, the production kind of plummeted a little bit. There were some games where he got lost, didn't get the opportunities, didn't get the targets. And so much so his wife even took to social media to complain about it. And rightfully so, because Chris is still a very good receiver. But he's entering a contract year making $20 million per year. It's actually a higher cap hit because they've had to push some money. So it'd be interesting to see if they're going to extend Chris or are they just going to restructure that deal to lower the cap number.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And create some more dead cap money next year. I think they're going to do the latter because it worked out pretty well for the Buccaneers and Mike in letting Mike Evans play in that contract year. And what you don't want to see necessarily is this team extend Chris Godwin and have the production, especially the touchdowns, continue to tail off a little bit. Now, Liam Cohen has talked about using Chris Godwin more in the slot, and that's probably really good news because that's where he's thrived. Go back to those Bruce Arians years where he played in the slot, and Chris Godwin was a Pro Bowl receiver, led this team at targets, catches, yards, everything but touchdowns. That's Mike Evans' domain. But he really was a more effective receiver. That's where this Buccaneers offense really was 1A and 1B with Mike and Chris. Last year, it was more 1 and 2. Mike was the clear number one. Chris was the clear number two. So if Chris wants a big-time contract extension, then I think the Buccaneers want to see him really thrive back in that slot role. Now, the last thing I'll say about this dynamic duo the Bucs have is it's time to add another guy to the mix. And what I mean by that, and we'll kind of transition into our combine coverage a little bit, is remember when Vincent Jackson was the clear number one wide receiver? What did Jason Light do? Well, he drafted another number one wide receiver in Mike Evans with the first pick in the 2014 draft. That was Jason Light's first draft. It was the seventh overall pick. And all of a sudden, the Buccaneers had that 1-2 punch. But it was really more than that, because Mike and Chris are only separated by a couple of years. Well, that wasn't the case. Vincent Jackson was entering the twilight of his career, actually well into it. And Mike was an up-and-coming guy. They both had 1,000-yard seasons in 2014. And that's where it all took off for Mike Evans. But it's time for Jason Light and Todd Bowles to draft another premium wide receiver. I'm not talking about Trey Palmer. He's got some potential, but we didn't see enough of it. I'm talking about a bona fide, legit number one wide receiver that can come in and either replace Chris Godwin after the season or be in the hopper and have that valuable experience with Mike Evans, learning under one of the game's best, just as Evans did with Vincent Jackson, one of the game's best at the time. And you can go talk to Mike about the late, great Vincent Jackson, and he will say that he owes a lot of his success in his career to watching a pro's pro do it for a couple of seasons before Jackson ultimately retired. So, Matt, we saw the Buccaneers talk to several of the wide receivers in this draft that could be there at the bottom of the first round. Keon Coleman from Florida State, the speedster from LSU, Brian Thomas, who had a fantastic 40-yard dash time, and even one of the Washington stars. Roma Dunze won't be there, but maybe Jalen McMillan, who was really kind of the straw that stirs the drink up there for the Huskies. Maybe one of those three guys ends up being a high draft pick, maybe in the first round, maybe in the second round. But I think this is the year where the Buccaneers should invest in another starting caliber wide receiver. You never know what's going to happen with injuries. We saw Russell Gage go out in training camp, and he'll be gone. The team will move on from him. But I just think that get another wide receiver in there so you can hand the baton off from Mike to the new guy whenever the time comes and have that guy be ready to play. Or maybe you move on from Chris Godwin after this season and you have another guy you can pair with Mike and Baker Mayfield. There's no drop off.
I'm in full agreement with you, Scott. I think really the big question, though, is like what round do the Bucs draft that wide receiver? Because I would love for the Bucs to draft a wide receiver in the first round. But when you also look at some of the other positions they need, like outside linebacker and center and things like that, it kind of makes it tough to justify taking a wide receiver first when you have some of those other positions that are a little bit more of a pressing need in terms of having an immediate starter. But I'm absolutely with you there for a couple of reasons. One, it's tough to pay wide receivers over $20 million per season for a bunch of seasons and have two different guys doing it. So eventually the Bucs are just going to wear themselves out with all of this money going to wide receivers if they're not exactly getting all of the production that they want. And that kind of goes to what you were saying about some of the lack of production from Godwin in the middle of the season and his wife getting involved and even the amount of touchdowns that Chris Godwin scored. I don't know if that was worth the money that he got. Yeah. And I'm not sitting here saying move on from Chris Godwin, but I am all for the Bucs being proactive and being ahead of the curve than saying, oh my God, like we're not re-signing Chris Godwin. Now we have to get a wide receiver into the mix. Another big reason why I'm really a big fan of it is because outside of Mike and Chris, and I get it, they are the top dudes. They're going to get the football. It wasn't necessarily a huge need of the Bucs to kind of fill those other roles, third and fourth wide receiver. Right. With all of that said, other wide receivers that they drafted in recent years, Trey Palmer, who we like to a degree, he was a late round pick. Jalen Darden, who's not on the team, he was like a late sixth round pick. Scotty Miller was a late round pick as well. And he served a certain role on this team. He was never going to be like wide receiver two, unless it was, a big injury. Even some of the other guys they have right now, Devin Tompkins, undrafted free agent. They're more for gadget plays and special teams. And even like David Moore, who was very fun to watch last season, he's a veteran player that's going to sign one-year deal after one-year deal. And that's nothing on David Moore. I really liked him in Tampa. I'd be fine if they re-signed him. But there comes a certain point, and I think we're reaching it soon, where the Bucs eventually have to say, we got to stop with these one-year deals and undrafted guys and really attack with another wide receiver. And I think this is the year to truly do it, especially now that you have Mike for a couple of seasons. If you re-sign Baker, you're at least getting Baker for like 3 years at a minimum. Now is the time in the NFL when you build it with offensive players and building out an offense. Now is the time to take care of business on that side of the football. Sometimes like when I'm working and I feel I need to kind of like take care of business a little bit more, like if I'm at the combine in Indy and we got an early start, I make sure I get my day started with a Celsius energy drink, which of course is the official energy drink of the Peter Report podcast. We're having Celsius on the left and right over in Indianapolis for the combine. So make sure you check out their new line of energy drinks, the Celsius Essentials. These have 270 milligrams of caffeine. They're the tall boy cans. They're a little bit bigger than your typical Celsius energy drink. And they got some awesome flavors like the Blue Crush and the Dragonberry. So if you need to know where to find a Celsius Essential or maybe some of the OG flavors like a sparkling orange, sparkling watermelon, Arctic Vibe, Tropical Vibe, Fuji Apple Pear, go to the Celsius store locator on the Celsius website, punch in your address wherever you are in the U.S. and it'll tell you the closest location where you can pick one up. Could be a Walmart, Target, 7-Eleven, health and fitness store, or your bodega.
Bodega.
And once you keep going to your bodega and you know you love Celsius and you want to get it in bulk, you can buy it in bulk. Head on over to Amazon. Shaggy is a fan of strawberry lemonade. Big fan of that as well. Go to Amazon. I'd recommend getting that variety pack, as variety is spice of life, and have it shipped to your place or residence, really whenever you want. You're in charge. You're the captain. Could be a week, month, year, quarterly. Just make sure you're drinking Celsius energy drinks. Make Celsius your number one pick. Celsius, the official energy drink of the Pewter Report podcast. As we keep the show going, I want to give a shout out to some of the participants in roll call during today's Pewter Report podcast. Great turnout once again. Can't get to every single person in terms of the personal shout outs. We'll, of course, always put your location up on the screen, but want to say hello to Buck78 watching from Gluckstadt, Mississippi. Troopa City from Sarasota. James Hamilton, maybe a little more familiar with Liam Cohen than some others, watching from Louisville, Kentucky. Shout out to Rick Pitino as well, yeah. St. John's head coach. Rob Beener from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Ace chilling over in the Bahamas. It's a nice spot to be.
Yes.
Rocky McTavish from Odessa, Florida. Like your little caption with Vita Vea with his helmet turned sideways. Daniel Thurgood from Luton, United Kingdom. So we got someone in the UK. And JTP155 watching from Charlotte, North Carolina, who goes on to say, people here really thought Mike would follow Dave Canales. Ha ha. Ha ha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that was ever going to happen with Mike going to Carolina, because yeah. I don't know how much money Carolina could have paid for Mike to go to that team. Yeah. So let's get to a couple super chats. Thank you to Mark Fisher, aka Redfish, for this $4.99 super chat, who says, just saw this. Amazing how one player could change my outlook. Do we now go? Do you believe? Or offensive lineman in the first round again?
You know, it's a great segue to we're not going to do a whole show on the draft prospects at the offensive line position that the team interviewed on Saturday, or I should say we interviewed on Saturday. But what I will do is I'm going to drop into the chat here, the combine tracker. And to get to your question here, we had Graham Barton from Duke in our latest mock draft. We're going to come out with a new one later this week.
Oh, yeah.
There is a chance that Graham Barton could stay in there. He still could be the pole position guy. But the Buccaneers, just to kind of throw it out there, they had 10 interviews, formal interviews, more than any other position with offensive line. So it makes perfect sense, does it not, Matt, if you're going to re-sign Baker Mayfield to a contract north of $30 million per year, that you want to protect the guy even better than you did the year prior? That means replacing Matt Filer and Aaron Stinney at left guard, probably upgrading center as well. I think one of those additions might come from free agency, but this team could double up on the draft as well. They've done that in years past. Look no further than 2015. After drafting Jameis Winston, they spent two high draft picks in the second round on Donovan Smith, left tackle, and Ali Marpet, who they moved to left guard. So actually, he played right guard, then left guard. But still, they had two rookie high draft picks in the second round. So let's go through some of the names. We're not going to reel off everybody they interviewed with, but there were some notable names. And one of those guys is a big-time favorite. That's Jackson Powers Johnson, the star center from Oregon. And he did have a formal interview with the Buccaneers, also played really well at the Senior Bowl as well. And another player that interviewed, as we mentioned, Graham Barton from Duke, who played left tackle there, projected to move inside either at center or guard. So those are certainly two options to help the interior. Cooper Beebe, I'm familiar with that guy from Kansas State, my alma mater, was one of the 10 players that had a formal visit with the Buccaneers. The other players, just to rattle off the formals, we're talking about Kansas left tackle Dominic Puny, who can move inside and play center and guard as he did at the Senior Bowl. Offensive tackle from Arizona, Jordan Morgan. Oregon State offensive tackle Talese Fuaga, who had a really good showing in Mobile, right tackle,
but
might move inside. Notre Dame right tackle Blake Fisher. Again, we've seen them draft a player from Notre Dame, and Robert Hansey, move him inside to play center for the Buccaneers. And that might be the situation too. Jason Light likes to take athletic tackles and move them inside. Mm-hmm. And then rounding out that list, Washington left tackle Troy Fountaineau. Yes, thank you. Now, he had such a great combine from an athletic standpoint, and there's been some concern with his size. He's only 6'4", but he does have long arms. He might just stay at left tackle, and he might have really helped himself to the point where he's not going to be an option for the Buccaneers. But they did have a formal interview with him, as well as UConn guard Christian Haynes, who's one of the top guards this year, and Oklahoma right tackle Tyler Guyton, who could move inside as well. But that's it. 10 offensive linemen, more offensive linemen interviewed formally with the Buccaneers than any other position. Safe bet to say, Matt, probably in the first or certainly in the second round, one of those two rounds is going to be an offensive lineman.
Oh, absolutely. It certainly is a point of emphasis. Talisi Fuaga is a very interesting guy because I really like him at tackle. I see some people saying like he could go late in the first round or something like that. And if he stays at tackle, that obviously keeps the Bucs from drafting a tackle because they got two pretty good ones on that side. But I just really like him as a player. So I spoke to him a little bit at the Senior Bowl, and yeah, we'll see. Bucks love to kick guys inside, so can't totally rule it out. But that one was one that I kind of like questioned a little bit. And obviously, if Jackson Powers Johnson is there when the Bucks are on the clock, I think they sprint to the podium to get that pick in. But
don't think he's going to be there, right?
But, I know, especially now with Jason Kelce retiring. Congrats to him on a great career. Makes the Eagles even more in that spot to go pick him. Anyway, thank you to Michael for this $4.99 super chat, who says, how much faith do you guys have that Bowles will be able to fix the pass defense, which was not good last year, to say the least?
He's a smart enough coach. I think if he has the players, that's the thing. I mean, it was a revolving door at cornerback. It was Zion McCollum, who was the constant, either at left corner or right corner. Whoever was injured that week, whether it was Jamel Dean or Carlton Davis, we saw Zion get more snaps than either one of those guys, despite truly not being a starter. But he ended up being a starter. I think that he will be one of those outside guys this year. I would not be surprised if the team moves on from Carlton Davis. And when looking at the players that they interviewed in Indianapolis, Matt, at the cornerback position, they interviewed a bunch of them, probably the second highest number. They had 21 players from the cornerback position interview. The three formal guys that were able to pin down: Georgia cornerback Kamari Lassiter, Kentucky cornerback Drew Phillips, Clemson cornerback Nate Wiggins. And then there were two players, Missouri cornerback Ennis Rakestraw and Auburn cornerback DJ James, that said that they did interview with the Buccaneers, but they weren't sure if it was a formal or informal interview. They couldn't remember. So possibly as many as five cornerbacks got formal interviews from the Buccaneers. That could mean that the team is interested in those players. Keep in mind, the Buccaneers last year did not interview Kalijah Kansi at the Senior Bowl, nor did they bring him in for a top 30 visit. The Buccaneers decided to switch up the approach. Maybe it's because of Peter Report, and we nailed so many of these Bucs best bets and have so many guys identified in our mock drafts that they wanted to throw us off the trail. And they went complete stealth mode and picked Kalijah Kansi, despite showing hardly any interest in him in the pre-draft process.
Yeah, it was quite the move by Jason Light in the front office. But, hey, it worked. I mean, we all saw the year that he had, especially when he was healthy. It's interesting. Yeah. When I look at this comment/question, says helping the pass defense. So while yes, you gravitate towards the secondary, but I kind of think that a lot of those concerns can be wiped away to a degree by fixing their pass rush.
Yeah.
By finding that next outside linebacker. Because another big thing that Todd Bowles was talking about was that he wasn't happy with the four-man pass rush.
Yeah.
And I think if the Bucs can get into those third and medium, third and long in particular situations, which they have had a lot of times last season, if they can trust their guys just getting home and you have more to drop back, like I like Zion McCollum. I think Zion McCollum can be an everyday starter. And I think if you were to get Jamel Dean somewhat healthy where he plays a majority of the games and it isn't play one, sit one, play one, sit one over and over, that will help his play overall as well. And certainly, they need to improve at strong safety, but you got Antoine there. We know Todd is going to blitz a fair amount, but just having that consistent edge rusher that is just always going to be on the mind of the quarterback and the opponent week in and week out, I think it actually helped that pass defense a lot more than just, hey, let's cut Carlton Davis and all of our issues will be solved. I don't necessarily see it that way. Like, yes, you still want to bring in a corner that can, or safety that can take the ball away, because we know that it was a huge issue with the Buccaneers, really not just last season, but the past couple of years. However, I still think addressing that pass rush is probably most important and will clear up a lot of the other problems on the back end.
You know me. I love pass rush. I'm all about it. You're preaching to the choir, Matt. I totally agree. nothing helps a secondary than a quarterback. It's either forced to throw an errant pass or just have that timing off with a wide receiver because he's got to get the ball out quickly. Or even better yet, the pass doesn't get off, right? Maybe it's a sack or it's a sack fumble. I'm with you on that. At the same time, though, when you look at how many times – did Ryan Neal really cost this Buccaneer pass defense by just not being good in coverage, right? And so that's one starting spot that they really kind of had to give him every opportunity, probably a lot longer than they should have, to kind of come around and help out. We know Antoine Winfield is going to lock down one of those safety spots for sure, but you can't clone the guy, right? You can pay him a boatload of money, but there's only one Antoine Winfield Jr. You can't clone him and have two out there, even though they'd love that. So I think it's getting more plays out of their nickel cornerback spot. And maybe this is a year where you have the offseason to reflect, right? If you're the Bucs nickel corner, Christian Isian, you go back to making those splash plays you made at the early part of the season, but really finding that other guy to complement Antoine Winfield Jr. and not be a liability there. Get a pass rusher up front. It's going to help things out, no doubt. But you got to find another safety that can really ball out. Doesn't have to be the superstar that Winfield is, but if you find a guy that it's not going to be Jordan Whitehead because he's going to cost too much money, but a Whitehead caliber player where you have a star and a solid player, an A and a B at safety, I think that's great. What the Buccaneers had last year was an A and a D, sometimes F at safety.
That is true. First of all, congratulations to Christian Isian. He had his baby was born yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So congrats to him. Beginning of the Bucs baby boom, because Tristan Wirfs has a child coming on the way. And so does Dee Delaney, and so does Baker Mayfield. So a lot of that. Let me ask you this, Scott. Let's take offense out of it. Let's just say Jackson Powers Johnson's off the board or whatever it may be. The Bucs are on the clock with their first round pick. And they have the guy that they love at safety and the guy that they love at outside linebacker as well. What do they do in that situation?
Well, if it's the first round,
on the spot.
Yeah, if it's the first round, what we're talking about is probably guys like Adisa Isaac, Chris Braswell. Yeah. Those are some players that might be there at the end of the first round. I think guys like Chop Robinson, Leatu Latu are going to be gone. By the time the Bucs pick. And really, there isn't a safety, I don't think, that is worthy of a first-round caliber grade this year. A guy like Cameron Kitchens from Miami ran a very slow 40-yard dash time. That's going to hurt his stock. You look at the safeties that Tampa Bay did interview. They're more of that second- and third-round variety. And guys, they interview just about the entire Georgia secondary. Georgia's Javon Bullard, Tyke Smith, those are probably day-two guys. Utah safety Cole Bishop is another one. And Jason Light's really mined the second and third round for defensive backs. That's kind of like home base for him drafting guys.
Yeah.
So I could see the edge rusher going in the first round, right? That's where he has stockpiled the defensive line with that first pick, whether it's a guy like Joe Tryon-Shoyinka, who, you know, it was a miss ultimately, right? Didn't live up to that draft hype, but there's him. Then you're looking at Kalijah Kancey, Vita Vea, those are first-round defensive tackles. Logan Hall, if you want to count him, he was the first pick, but he was the top pick in the second round. We have a question here about Darius Robinson. I don't think Darius Robinson is going to be in the mix because Darius Robinson from Missouri ran just under a 4.9.
Yeah,
and that's really – it's a good time for a defensive tackle – but he's not an edge rusher at that speed. And you already have a bigger guy at 265 pounds. And Yaya Diaby, You're probably going to want a speed rusher, a guy that's going to replace Shaq Barrett, if you will, really bring some heat off the edge to get into the backfield. And Robinson just does not have that kind of speed.
Let's get to this $20 super chat. Thank you very much to Richie P. Remember, if you guys super chat us, especially if it's a $20 super chat, doesn't really matter what the topic is, we get to it as soon as we possibly can. So thank you to Richie P for this $20 super chat, who says, to me, it's either Barton or JPJ in the first round, Jackson Paris Johnson. If they aren't there, then Bucks go wide receiver or end. Verse, Chop, Latu, Brian Thomas Jr., hashtag love the off season. Well, I would love for Jared Verse to be there. I don't think that's going to happen.
I agree.
Latu, another guy I don't think is necessarily going to be there. Brian Thomas, interesting. Spoke about him a little bit before. But very curious to see. I think, not that I'm really giving anything away, but it feels very much as if we're kind of whittling down the positions that the Bucs are going to be going with in the first round. And certainly interior offensive line, which in this case, it kind of helps that the Bucs have a later pick, because there are a lot of people that say,
agreed,
you don't pick an interior offensive lineman within the first like 10 picks or whatever, except what's his name? Quentin Nelson, that went to the Colts years ago.
Right.
So in a weird spot, it's kind of good that the Bucs are in this situation.
That's right.
And clearly center is a need. As is
They did draft a guard way back in the day. This wasn't under the Jason Light regime. This was under the Mark Domnick regime, actually. I take that back. It was actually Bruce Allen and John Gruden, because it was in 2003. Yep, 2003. And that was, or no, 2000, when was it? 2006. Yep, right. Pull it up right here. Davin Joseph, Pro Bowl guard.
That's right.
Was drafted by the Bucks with the 23rd overall pick. Pretty good player, right? This was a guy that might have been certainly in the Bucks' Ring of Honor contention, maybe a Hall of Famer if he'd racked up some more Pro Bowlers or some more Pro Bowl berths. Suffered a devastating knee injury. It was never the same. It happened in the preseason, some friendly fire, and that pretty much ended it quickly. But I would not rule out an offensive lineman at 26. Jason Light knows that football is won in the trenches. Go back to their Super Bowl win in 2020. The Buccaneers had a healthy, dominant offensive line, and their defensive line with Shaq Barrett on one side, JPP on the other, Vita Vea in the middle. Dominican Sue. Once Vea got healthy, it was dominant on both sides of the line. So football is won in the trenches. I would not be surprised there, but Brian Thomas, another, we talked about it earlier in the show.
Yeah.
You got Mike Evans under contract, get another elite wide receiver, groom him, get him as much experience as you can with Mike Evans for a couple of years, like Mike Evans had with Vincent Jackson at the twilight of his career. So I thought that was, that's certainly a worthy option there as well. Folks, this week is just getting started, right? We're having a lot of fun here. It's a Monday. We've already done roll call. You know what that means in the offseason. We have Tuesday podcasts. We do podcasts Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Now, the big question for tomorrow is, will Antoine Winfield Jr. get the franchise tag? Yeah. As of 4:49, I've not heard anything today about that. But if he does, then we're going to be talking about Antoine Winfield Jr. getting the franchise tag on tomorrow's show. If he does not, well, they can still re-sign him. But then the conversation is going to shift to, will Baker Mayfield hit free agency? So our topic tomorrow is going to be driven by the news. It's either going to be Baker Mayfield driven or Antoine Winfield Jr. driven. And we'll see which graphic and which topic we're talking about tomorrow. That's going to be based on what the Buccaneers end up doing. They have until 4 o'clock tomorrow to use the franchise tag on a player. If they're going to use it, it's going to be on Winfield, not on Mayfield, because the franchise tag, Matt, for quarterback is just under $37 million. That's a little cross prohibitive.
And Jason Light had some very interesting comments when we spoke to him at the combine. When asked about using the franchise tag, he said it's a good tool to have, but he doesn't necessarily know if he's going to use it this year. Now, was it a poker face type of thing? I don't necessarily know. However, if they don't end up using it, I do not see any type of way Antoine Winfield Jr. is not on this team. I can see Baker going to another team, go getting that money. If Antoine Winfield Jr. goes into the Bucks facility either for a workout, to talk with his agent and GMs and guys, you put a chain lock on that door and make sure he does not leave. That's right. I don't care like how long you got to keep everyone there. Yeah. I feel like it would be impossible to play without Antoine Winfield Jr. on this team. So it'll be very interesting to see if they end up using it at all, or if they put it in field and then say, we're just doing this so we can kind of figure out a contract at a later date. But I don't really think there's going to be a Bucks player that the 2024 season is playing on the franchise tag deal.
Yeah, I agree. I think a deal is going to get done. And I'm with you, Matt, 100% on there. We have a question here, because we're talking about, obviously, Baker Mayfield being next in line with the Buccaneers after the re-signing of Mike Evans. Question here from Brent O'Neill. How old is Michael Pratt? That's the Tulane quarterback.
I'm only familiar with Mike Pratt. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Goes by Mike Pratt now because it sounds cooler, I guess. But Pratt was one of four quarterbacks that the Buccaneers had formal interviews with, and wearing those cool, ultra cool green wave Tulane uniforms there. Pratt is 22. He'll be 23 in September. So even though he was a four-year starter for the Green Wave, still not terribly old. Like, he's not one of those 24-year-old guys. So Pratt, I think, would be a great fit and a great addition after you address some of those needs. As I wrote about this, it was a bit of a controversial column, got a lot of traffic. The Bucs had the right premise in drafting a quarterback after the Bucs won the Super Bowl. You wanted to see maybe that handoff between Tom Brady and the next guy. Yeah. It just hasn't worked out that it's Kyle Trask, at least not yet. But the process was sound. This team should not be drafting quarterbacks twice every 10 years. You need to continue to draft quarterbacks until you hit on one, because you never know when injuries might strike or when a player's just, falls off the map. And maybe your draft pick doesn't pan out. The Bucs gave Jameis Winston 5 years, Matt. It didn't work out. He's not a franchise quarterback, nor is he really a starting caliber quarterback. The 49ers traded up to get Trey Lance in 2021. He wasn't the guy. But thank goodness for them, they took a flyer on Brock Purdy the next year, and it worked out in the seventh round.
And even a later date, the Washington Commodes, RG3 and Kirk Cousins were in the same draft.
That's right.
So kind of crazy how that worked out. Yeah, I'm kind of a big advocate, especially with the history and percentages of the Bucs hitting on their quarterback draft picks. Yeah. Just keep throwing it at the wall until something sticks. You know, why not? As John Joseph Maloney says, we need to draft the quarterback every 2 to 3 years. I don't necessarily think that's the worst idea. I mean, you never know when you could get a diamond in the rough like Tom Brady back in the day.
That's right.
Brock Purdy, we just talked about. Even, I know he got released a couple of minutes ago, but at the time when the Seahawks drafted Russell Wilson, he was not a known commodity by any means. He was a middle-round pick and ended up winning a Super Bowl. So those guys do turn into diamonds in the roughs at times. And who knows, maybe Pratt's the next one or whoever they decide to go with.
Yeah, no, you're right. I will say this. We're talking draft picks. We're talking a new contract for Mike Evans. We're talking about a new possible contract for Baker Mayfield. My advice, whether you're a draft pick, whether you're a top free agent signing, or whether you're just a pewter person out there watching the show, if you're looking to make the most of your finances, well, there's one place to turn, and that's over at Amuni Financial.
At Amuni Financial, we help you live in the now.
Congratulations. We're so happy
Thank
for
you.
You.
Thank you.
And even though the now may feel very different, you still need to plan for the future.
How's retirement treating you?
Oh, just fantastic.
I know I say it all the time, but you really got to come up to Colorado.
Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah.
We can help you develop that plan to keep you on track so you can still prepare for tomorrow, today. Amuni Financial. Plan ahead. Stay ahead.
Folks, here are some little known facts. I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but even though Amuni Financial is based over in St. Petersburg, they handle the finances for clients, not just across the state of Florida, but also across the country. That's right. You don't have to be from Florida to enjoy the benefits of working with Immuni Financial. Matter of fact, I encourage you, if you're outside the state of Florida and you're looking for another alternative, give Immuni Financial a call. I've got most of my financial investments with Immuni. So if I trust them, I encourage you to do the same. Give Immuni a call at 1-800-868-6864. Visit them on the web at Immuni.com. Managing your family's wealth means more to Immuni Financial than simply allocating your assets. It's legacy planning, brokerage and advisory services, retirement accounts, college savings accounts, and insurance services. They've got over 40 years of experience doing this, folks. Let Immuni Financial help you plan ahead and stay ahead. Again, 1-800-868-6864 or visit them on the web at Immuni.com.
By the way, Scott, before you mentioned Davin Joseph, who made a Pro Bowl with the Buccaneers, there's a great Sporkle out there for those that like playing Sporkle. Like Bucks that have made the Pro Bowl over the last 20 years. Just keep that name in mind if you come across that Sporkle. That's a free one for you with one of the more difficult names that you may not have on the list. But yeah, anyway, just wanted to throw that out there for the Peter. Yep.
I don't think the Buccaneers are going to have an interest in Russell Wilson if they can't come to terms with Baker Mayfield. I don't know about you, Matt. I just don't see that being a really good fit here in Tampa.
Yeah, I mean,
I think Baker's coming back regardless.
Yeah, I think that's got to be the number one priority. I don't know about Russ. And you could say like, oh, well, they just did it with Baker Mayfield reviving his career. Why couldn't they do it with Russell Wilson as well? I feel like there's a lot more baggage with Russell Wilson than there was with Baker. So when it comes to that, I'd almost rather them go with like a Gardner Minshew, who we've talked about. I know Kyle Trask will never get an opportunity, but just I don't think Russ is the right move. Or maybe Pratt. Maybe Pratt gets in the running to be the starter in that situation.
Yeah, we shall see. Well, one thing is for sure that Baker Mayfield, who I believe has a condo in Tampa, he's going to be able to afford a brand new house in Tampa for his brand new baby that's on the way and his wife, Emily. And if he's looking for a good realtor, well, I've got somebody in mind and you might know his name by now. He's an avid Peter Report reader. He's also a Tampa native. I'm talking about the one and only Eric Gross in the Eric Gross Group. That's right. Folks, this is the official realtor of Peter Report for a big reason. Why? Because Eric has got the experience in the game to help you buy a house or sell your house and get the best value that you can out there in the free agent market that is the marketplace for homes these days. That's right. The Eric Gross Group has done hundreds of transactions in this crazy real estate market. They've got the experience that you need in any type of situation. With their strong team of vendors and a network of over 85,000 agents due to the eXp Realty Group, the Eric Gross Group will turn your dream of buying or selling a home into a reality. Their clients are not just transactions, they're lifelong friendships. Don't let the stress of buying or selling a home get you out of the game. Let the Eric Gross Group take the pressure off. Find them on Facebook and Instagram at Eric Gross Group or check out their awesome website, housesinfla.com. That's housesinfla.com. For a list of their inventory and open houses they have coming up. Or you can give Eric a call at 513-907-4271. Start the conversation about Tampa Bay football, but then let him help you with your real estate needs. No matter where you are on your home ownership journey, you're going to feel welcome at the Eric Gross Group, the official realtor of Peter Report.
Well, it's been a great show today. Got another fun one coming up tomorrow, whether it's about Antoine Winfield Jr. and the franchise tag or Baker Mayfield and whether or not he re-signs with the Bucs before free agency or if he hits the market. But until then, make sure you're following us on all of our social media on X, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We are at Peter Report. Our YouTube channel is Peter Report TV. Make sure you subscribe and hit that like button on all of our channels. We got tons of great content. I have a Mike Evans Get Signed reaction video that went up this morning. Still a lot of clips from the Combine, things that you can watch that's already on there, other things that will pop up throughout the week as well. So please like, subscribe, leave a comment on this video as well. Once done, I'm not talking about like in the chat, but in the comment section.
Yeah.
once this video.
Let's get to 14,000.
Yeah,
we want to goal by the draft.
Get that Godwin number. That would be big for us. And yeah, we'd really appreciate it. So that's going to do it for us on today's show. For Scott Reynolds, I'm Matt Matera saying thanks everybody for watching. And we'll see you tomorrow for another edition of the Peter Report podcast. Mike is back.
Mike out. Is back. Out.